You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. Hey, Chris Cox here. Just doing a little intro for the movie Adrift, which we saw. I was very disappointed because when I saw the trailer, I was like, oh, look at that huge storm tidal wave scene. That's going to look amazing in what I thought was going to be IMAX, because it was at the local history museum, which has a really awesome IMAX theater. Little did I know, they actually had an upstairs theater that was just a regular old theater. Oh, well, everybody else got to see Won't You Be My Neighbor, which I really wanted to see an ugly cry at. But nope, we saw this instead. But how is it? Well, you're going to have to listen to a review to find out. Before we get there, big thanks once again to the subscribers. It is you guys are the ones who keep the lights on. Without you, literally, we'd be just totally screwed. So thank you so much. And my God, we need some more of you. I got to tell you, I cannot emphasize enough how important subscribers are to keeping the site going, to keeping it alive, to keeping it moving forward. Also, on that note, I want to point out, if a lot of you guys only get your fix through possibly the iTunes or Stitcher or something like that, where we feed through, you're missing out on a lot of content, because we've been doing a lot of videos, and those are we put those up on our YouTube account, which you should totally go over there and follow, for sure, the OneOfUs.net YouTube account. And as well, we put up unique pictures and little videos all the time on our various accounts, on OneOfUs accounts on Instagram, on Tumblr, on Facebook, on Twitter. So make sure you like all of those things, or follow, or whatever they, each site's unique way of calling it is. And it makes a difference for us too. I mean, hell, it makes people more likely to actually deal with us and send us stuff to review, because they go, oh, that guy's got this many hits on there. I mean, I don't have any skin in the game in terms of like ego here. I'm just saying that's the mechanics of the thing. So please do that. Very appreciated. Tell your friends and your family. Annoy them until they do it. And as well, of course, thanks to our sponsor, Oscar Blues Brewing. That's OSKAR. I know it's weird. And they've got breweries located in Austin, Texas, Boulder, Colorado, Longmont, Colorado, and Brevard, North Carolina. The first craft brew in a can. Delicious. All sorts of great choices. The Fugly Fruit IPA is my personal favorite, but man, there's a lot of different things to choose from. And they even make their own sodas and dry rubs and bikes. Weird. Anyway, yes, check out Oscar Blues Brewing Company. Become a subscriber. Get on all the social media. I think I checked all those things. And now let's get on to a ship floating in the middle of the ocean where we'll all probably die. Well, sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip, starring Shailene Woodley and that guy from the crappy Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
Doesn't rhyme as well.
In my head, I thought,
wait,
like,
which one?
Which one? On Stranger Tides, for the record. But okay. I kept thinking it was Jamie Dornan the whole time I was watching.
This guy was better than Jamie Dornan.
I thought it was a less buff Henry Cavill.
So it's Hollywood's new everyman.
This couldn't have been Jamie Dornan because I didn't want to punch him.
Yeah, it couldn't have been Henry Cavill because he didn't cock his arms. So, sorry, I'm never going to get that image out of my head. this is Adrift. I'm Chris.
I'm Mike.
George.
And this is based on the true story, which based on a book by Shailene Woodley's character here.
Tammy.
She's playing Tammy Oldham, who her and her boyfriend, Richard Sharp, played by Sam Claflin, found themselves caught in a massive storm when doing a trip for some friendly rich folks, taking their sailing yacht 4,000 miles to California. And it kind of flashes back and forth the whole time from, like, it's linear, but in two different time periods. So it's like,
yeah,
it really starts with they've already got hit by the storm and they're, mm-hmm. She's just waking up and going, crap, what's going on? To,
I mean, it really starts with,
I just arrived on the island and
what appears to be a corpse floating towards the bottom of the ocean. That's the way it starts.
Right. And I, you know, to some degree, I see, like, I feel like narratively the only way you could tell this movie with any dramatic tension is to to structure it the way they did. Because quite frankly, you're building up to the actual storm. You know, we don't see the actual big badass storm till close to the end of the movie. But I felt like there's something kind of... there's a lot of stuff here, including a twist that was so telegraphed it was insane. I feel like they try
to play it both ways on that, though.
They really did.
Where they're trying to tell you that this is where she's coming from. This is what she's going through.
Yeah.
You know, and they clearly set out the rules, like, right at the top of the movie, that this is what's going to happen. But you still want it to not be true.
Well, yeah.
I feel like that kind of works in
its
favor.
I think that's what they wanted, but I'm afraid they over-telegraphed it to the point where there was no question in my mind that that's what was happening. But well, that being said, this is Shailene Woodley's movie to own. And
it's clearly a passion project. Like, she's a producer on it. Yeah. And,
if there's something real, like, that I'm going to come out and be very positive about here, is that she gives this her all. Shailene Woodley's always been a very good actress ever since we saw her in The Descendants. I actually got to do an interesting roundtable interview with her back on that film.
And she was spectacular now.
Couldn't have been nicer.
The first movie where I saw her, it's like, wow, she's...
Very talented young actress.
Spectacular now. Yeah.
And despite I felt that the script was kind of middling, she gave it her all to a point that she's just kind of a pleasure to watch on screen.
It was a mixture of two different sort of storylines that was a really intense survival film and a really bad romantic comedy kind of thing. And that's the main thing that kept drawing me out of the film. Was because, yeah, it's great that the story is like trying to tell you why these two people love each other. But over the entire time, it kept flashing back to the before hurricane times. I was just like, can we get back to, you know, her slowly dying? I'm totally cool with that.
You would just enjoy watching Shailene Woodley slowly die.
It was really, because every time they would get cut back to the romantic part, it was the most, like, fucking Hallmark Channel meet cute bullshit. That I was just like, I don't fucking care about any of this right now.
Yeah, I mean, they did their best to build up their characters along the way to give you enough backstory so they seemed interesting, but I found myself, and I think it was just because it just wasn't written all that great, having trouble getting really involved in that. I mean, right off the bat, you're like, cute white chick who lives in San Diego decides, fuck it, I'm going to travel the world and just do whatever. And I'm like, okay, great, good for you.
Falls for the first British guy who comes to the port. Either the romance works for you or it doesn't. The romance worked for me.
Okay, you thought it was sweet?
Yeah, I thought it was sweet. I thought it was cute.
I thought it was too sweet.
I thought that, you know, it makes sense for someone that could be about to die in the middle of the ocean. That's the stuff she thinks about. So
yeah, I mean, like I said, I think there's, I mean, it wasn't terrible, but there was almost too much of it. You're just like, I don't care. Especially considering, like I said, some of the telegraphing, or I'm always like, this doesn't matter to me. But I was more interested in the stuff with her, like, learning how would you survive in that scenario.
Right.
There was a bit of a sort of like early on, she's like, well, you know, I only know a little bit about sailing. And then it's like, you're not very far. And you're like, that's a little bit about sailing.
I would have died 10 minutes into this.
She's like, she knows inherently where the shipping lanes are off the top of her head.
Well, and the flight patterns and everything. Yeah.
They had also been at sea a few days, and she clearly was motivated to learn. She spent time on a schooner.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah. But
and based on a true story, so clearly.
But I put that at the fault of the script, not the fact that it really happened. And even, like I said, the thing that I didn't like about it the most was something that really was more or less what actually happened, if not to that intensity level.
I will say, with the romance story, it almost feels like a romance for the Instagram generation. Like, each little story, I could picture, like, you know, this is like a Snapchat story. Like, you know, me and my boyfriend just did this, and, like, every little interlude with them feels kind of like that. Like,
yeah, if it didn't take place in 83, that would be, like, small Instagram sequences, like, I guarantee you.
This is by Balthazar Kormákur, who is a Icelandic actor, theater, and film director.
I remember
he had another survival movie that I was kind of like, well, that looks like it could be good. That I found
Two Guns.
Not a very good movie.
Two Guns.
But that I found to be ultimately kind of banal because the characters weren't very realistically sketched. Which was Everest. I thought in the end it was like, man, just stick to the survival parts.
You're not great
at character work. You're just not. And this feels like he still hasn't gotten over the same problems that I had with that film.
I actually like this a little better than Everest, but.
I never saw it, but every time they got to the cutesy part, it just felt like he didn't know how to direct it, because Shailene Woodley and all the survival stuff is great, but in all of the romantic stuff, she just doesn't feel like she's actually giving it all that much.
The super realistic part was the point where, to me, where I was like, yes, that is a great performance, because I know what that's like. It's when she realizes there is a jar of peanut butter intact and starts eating it, and I was like, that you could just tell at the spot. She's like, that was better than any sex she's ever had, and I understand that. Every time I discover I thought I had no peanut butter and there is peanut butter, I feel exactly the same way. It's just too wonderful to pass by without, like, you know, making an Instagram post or something about it.
I really don't understand.
I'm not touching that one, but I guess I could say, like not having a pizza for a long time. Okay. I think one of the things that I appreciated the most about this movie is the fact that you do see her visually getting worse as the movie progresses.
Right. Yeah.
Because most other movies that do things are like survivally, like they always look like really nice for some fucking reason, like, look at you, Walking Dead, yeah, kind of thing. Like, they still look like they've had their makeup guy on with them the entire way. It's like, at the first, like, yeah, the very beginning kind of looks like that. By the time it's done, it's like, man, she looks like she's been out there for as long as she's supposed to be been out there.
Which is, 42 days or 41 days?
Yeah, it's like
40-something days.
It's 41, I think.
A lot. More than I would want. Well, one is more than I would want to be. But, you know, period. I'm not the world's biggest boat guy to begin with.
Oh, these movies sell me on the reason why I'm not a boat guy.
Yeah, you're just like, I'd rather crash in the mountains in an airplane than
I don't even like
float
the beach,
in the water
like
in a boat. Yeah, I know, right? I'll take a lake. You can't get but so adrift on a lake. Unless you're in
Stephen
King's The Raft.
I can't even get near a skateboard without hurting myself. So, like, a boat, yeah, no.
Yeah, that's George's adrift. He's caught out in the middle of the tarmac on a skateboard. Help! Look for a passing skate punk. I'm here! Help me! Oh,
I'd rather get stuck in a buffet.
Oh, well, we've all done that. All right, let's go to final thoughts.
Those boosts just get keep getting smaller and smaller.
Fashioning his napkins into a sail.
I feel like for those who feel like the twist is a twist, I could see them being angry by this movie, and I feel like, especially, like, they actually flash, like, a newspaper article. It's like, look, this is what she actually said she went through. You know, we're being true to it. And it works for you, it doesn't. I think it works in a way that would actually reward repeat viewings in a way that, like, if you're just watching it for a twist, and that doesn't really work. The romance worked for me well enough. But, yeah, it does feel a little shallow. Really, I think this is a good movie. It's nothing amazing, but I do feel like some people will, you know, click with them and they'll really love it. I'd probably give it 6.5 homemade engagement rings.
Okay. Michael.
This movie mostly, like, there's a lot of really good sequences on it. All the stuff with her on her doing the survival stuff. The actual parts of them sailing just before, you know, shit goes down, I found a little soothing, I guess, but, you know, every time it went into, like, this is why we're romantically engaged, I was bored of my fucking mind. Almost fell asleep, like, multiple times because it kept cutting back to that, and then just staying on those moments for, I feel like, way too long for certain parts.
Too much love, not enough Naruto, is what you're saying.
What?
That just sounds like something you would say.
It's not something I would say.
Okay, all right. I'm reading you entirely wrong.
You have to say Dragon Ball. That's all you have to say. It's literally all. Never mind. All right. Or Spider-Man. But, fuck, I lost my train of thought. No. Oh, what was I saying? Oh, I remember that. So, yeah, Shailene Woodley is fucking amazing in this film, at least for the parts where she's doing the survival parts, because she is acting her ass off right away.
She's aiming for an Oscar in a movie that will never be nominated for anything.
Not gonna get an Oscar, yeah.
Yeah.
Sam, what's his name?
Clifton?
Clifford?
Clifton? I don't know.
Sam Cavill.
That guy from Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides.
Les Buff Henry Cavill. He's just British. Like, there's, like, very little emotion out of him in certain sequences.
He's originally supposed to be Miles Teller, for the record, and he had to back out at the last minute.
Is that true, though?
Yeah. According to Wikipedia, which
that would make some
movie
sense.
Together.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But, like, yeah, because there's a sequence where, like, they're mentioned, like, so how'd your mom die? And he doesn't change, like, emotion once the entire time. And I was just like, oh, that's should be a heartfelt moment, but you're just going to keep the... Okay.
Well, that whole scene is only there to, once again, if you haven't gotten the twist yet, to drive it home with something he talks about.
Yeah, that's true, too. But it's just overall, like, there's some nice stuff in here, but I wouldn't tell you to go out to a theater in any way, really. Like, if it comes out on TV at any point, or, do you know, like, somebody wants to watch it, like, fine. It's like, give it a quick watch, but overall, I'm going to forget this movie even existed. I would have to give it 4 out of 10 times I thought, I'm just going to live on a place where there's no sea whatsoever around me.
So, Austin.
Yeah. I'm gonna be as landlocked as fucking possible after watching this film.
And our next film is about Shailene Woodley surviving an earthquake. Good
in
luck.
The desert.
In the desert.
Surrounded by scorpions or something.
I mean, you were saying, like, make you mad for the twist. It didn't make me mad. It just bored me. I was just like, yawn. Okay, this is tedious. And that's the biggest problem in the movie. I found most of it tedious. Even when you get to the big storm sequence, it's not terribly good CG at all. I mean, we saw better, like, when The Perfect Storm came out, like, 10 years ago or so, it looked much better. But this is a much smaller
low budget,
film. You know,
I actually thought it looked good for a low budget.
It was acceptable, I'll give it that. But it's one of those, if you're spending your whole film building up to that point, and then it's pretty damn short and there's not much of a visual payoff, ultimately. I was like, yeah, okay, whatever, fine. I mean, I felt like the director, who is not, like, terribly bad at getting a good shot, maybe it's more his cinematographer, Robert Richardson, definitely takes advantage of every good sunset that came across on filming days by going, oh my god, look at that sunset! That's beautiful! Check it out, people! This movie's beautiful. And lots of big shots from above of, look at the boat alone on a big empty ocean! I don't know. This thing is littered with cliches, and it's got a mediocre script. But on, you know, like I said, on the plus side, Shailene Woodley, who's better than the material, who I'm sure this book is amazing, you know, I'm sure it is. I mean, it's a real survival story from the viewpoint of the survivor. Was very inspired and excited to make it. But what we got was just below okay and somewhere between mediocre and okay. I give it 4.5 out of 10 jars of well-fingered peanut butter.
I feel like the cinematographer...
You had to make it even weirder somehow.
You eat it with your fingers, you know? I mean, the spoon's washed overboard. Well, I don't even want to know what George is going to go home and do now. He's like, I never really thought about it that way.
I'm going to think of a lot of weird sequences in this film.
I'm never eating peanut butter again.
Well, not my peanut butter, anyway.
Yeah, definitely not your peanut butter.